4:07, it is 82 degrees at Kalamazoo, and it is time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad that you could be here with us. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be giving away some tickets to Maleficent. That's that new movie with Angelina Jolie coming out this weekend. So, yeah, see, you know, we just got through this weekend. We're already looking ahead to next weekend. That's how forward-thinking we are.
We want to help you plan your weekend.
You know, because, you know, it will be nice, but who wouldn't like to go to the theater and take in a brand new movie on the weekend?
I certainly would love to do that.
Or in my case, go to the theater and see a two-week-old movie.
Well, whatever's your pleasure.
I guess, you know, just whatever I get around to, I guess. But we're going to be giving away those tickets a little bit later. So stay with us. Of course, this portion of the program is brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and Oviter community at their open house. You say, well, when is that open house? Well, it's conveniently scheduled for you each and every Saturday from 10 until 2. So you know what? If you were busy last Saturday and you go, you know what? I want to check it out next Saturday. Just mark it on your calendar and be ready for it. So check that out, definitely. Well, we were talking earlier about the minimum wage. And phone lines were jammed. So if you didn't get the opportunity to call us earlier, it'd be a great time for you to give us a call and let us know your thoughts on it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Because we have seen, we have heard so many numbers that have been floated around in this. You know, we've been talking about, gosh, you know, it's been 1010, 740. 920, 850, 925, set hike. I mean, you know, that's kind of, you sit here and hear all of these different numbers. And I think what we need to be able to do is slow down a little bit and say, all right, what's actually happening? What is it that we are, what is it that we are going to end up doing? And what kind of impact is it going to have on people as we dig into this? What's it going to be like for businesses? What is it going to be like for those of us who just want to go to the store and buy a gallon of milk? Because like it or not, if wage costs go up, guess what? Prices are going to go up. And you've heard about prices going up on groceries. You don't even have to hear about that. Go to the store and you can see it. You can see just what kind of an impact that's having. Think about what your food budget was years ago. And what it is right now, it's gone up significantly. So we'd love to hear from you as we talk about this. And you are certainly welcome to give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280 if you are outside the local area. Or you can also text us, 80373, and share your comments with us that way. Now, Michael, we had someone that could not stay on the line with us.
Yes.
That wanted to share some comments, and they left those comments with you.
Yes, this was from Sean. He said, my son works at a local grocery store, and his boss had a meeting the other day and said he might have to close a couple of his stores if the minimum wage were to go up. His son's boss employs a lot of high schoolers, giving them their first experience in the workforce.
Okay. All right. And that's, you know, that's another issue as well. And we've seen figures of, you know, teenage unemployment. It's pretty darn high at this point. So you're not going to get the level of experience that you would normally get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's definitely an issue. We definitely want to hear from you, and we are going to head to the phones just now so we could do that and chat with Doug standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well.
All right. Well, you're talking about the minimum wage and how the small business guy can't work and afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my solution is that the ACA has a fundamental program to that. Is about if you have 50 people or less, that they don't have to participate in it, or if you're part-time, you don't have to participate in it. If that's the way they want to go about it, that'd be a suggestion.
Just to add that on to the bill, is that what you're suggesting?
Well, you're saying it was such an inconvenience for this, you know, this mom-and-pop place. You know, they're saying that, don't get me wrong, I'm not too much of a favor of the whole thing, but,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, a suggestion to be able to help out the smaller people. If they don't have only so many people, like you said, they wouldn't be able to stay afloat. So give them a cutoff. You know, if you have 50 or fewer people, you don't have to abide by that law.
Well, and it's an interesting idea. And, Doug, I appreciate your call today. Thank you so much. It's an interesting idea to put it that way, but I think the other problem that you would have with that, if you did that sort of thing, is you would create two tiers and two levels of quality of employees. You know, it would be like, okay, you know, you could work the mom-and-pop store only until that job at Walmart comes along, you know. Because, you know Walmart is going to have over 50 people or whatever the line would draw. So, you know, it's an interesting idea. I think, though, that that kind of creates a playing field that really wouldn't be all that level at all. Because while you've got, okay, well, yeah, you have bigger business, you can afford the higher wages, but then you're going to get more of your jobs in demand and you're going to get a better quality employee than what this business would. And that's really not good for small business in the long run. At least that's my my angle on it as well. Somebody is suggesting via text, they're saying eliminate the minimum wage and let the free market take over companies that don't pay enough, then they'll have lesser quality of employees. I don't know. I don't know that eliminating the minimum wage is going to happen. That's a tough one to even try and sell to people at this point. You know, I understand the idea that let the market speak to what minimum wage should be. And I think in a perfect world, yeah. Because you would see, all right, I want a higher quality employee, so I'm going to raise my wages a little bit. We're gonna get better quality people in here. And you would. Until your competitor got wind of it and raised their wages to either equal that or to be greater than that. It just, you know, 2 cents worth there. It certainly sounds perfect on paper, but practice in the real world, how many people would say, yeah, I'll go for totally eliminating the minimum wage? It's not going to happen. I mean, I don't think there's any practical way to make that happen. Let's head back to the phones, and we chat with Linda, who's standing by. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I'm against raising the minimum wage. I think that it's going to be a fiasco just like Obamacare, because now that that's being instituted, you're already losing jobs. I think that you're going to lose more jobs. You're going to see much higher prices, and it's going to be horrible for the economy.
Well, and that's the one argument you always hear from, well, you know, people can't raise their families on this much money and that kind of thing. But I think, well, if prices go up on things, won't we put those people back in that same position?
Well, I'll tell you, where there's a will, there's a way. I had four kids, and I worked two jobs for many, many years to get those kids through high school and college. And, you know, if there's nothing wrong with hard work. So everybody has the same opportunity as I did. So get out, get your education, and work your butt off to raise your family. That's all you can do.
There you go. Thanks, Linda. You know, and I think that's the one thing that we have lost is that sense that, I mean, how many people honestly believe hard work, that's the way to get ahead? You know, it used to be the value that we had in America that, you know, hard work, you know, sweat of your brow and dig down deep and do your best job and that kind of thing. How many people honestly believe that these days? And how many people are going to go to a minimum wage job with that idea in mind to ultimately move ahead? I think that's another question to ask in the middle of that. 803-73, if you'd like to text us with your comments, also 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Talk with John in Kalamazoo. Hi, John.
Hello. Okay, well, I guess I'm a glasses half full person, and first of all, the millennial generation gets in. I'm not millennial. I'm 58. But number one, they have my experience, and I'm in an industry that works with a lot of small businesses. They are a lot harder working than people give them credit for, one. Two, in reference to the comment by the previous caller, name me one business that's gone out of business because of the National Health Care Act. Three, raising the minimum wage, everybody's minimum wage going up. It is a level playing field. And if you look at, and I'll talk restaurants, because that's the industry I know specifically. A fast food restaurant, if you look at the tipped employees as a percentage of sales, for a sit-down casual restaurant, your front-of-the-house employees represent about 9% of your total cost of goods, a percentage in relation to revenue. Your back of the house, typically about 13 or 14% because they're not tipped. So the impact, if you work out the numbers, is really not going to have that much of an impact. And grocery stores, by the way, their labor in relation to their revenues is under 10%. And you can look this up in Fintel statistics, it's public record. This is much ballyhoo about nothing. We raise the minimum wage, everybody's got to pay it. For mom and pop or for Mr. Walmart, they all got to pay it.
Well, and here's the other question, though, John, because, sure. Yeah, some people would get the increase. And, you know, you would see people at minimum wage get it, certainly. There would be some union contracts that would see that because they've negotiated that into the contract. But by and large, I think you're going to see an awful lot of people that won't get an increase in their salary when this happens. And, you know, you talk about, you know, throwing out all these numbers, 10%, 9%, this, that, and the other. The bottom line is that there are going to be prices go up on some things. And those of us that are in that group that, okay, we're not going to get the increase, suddenly we're paying more for the same stuff. Budgets get even tighter. How is that good for the economy?
First of all, I think, and I, as a business owner, I see this as an opportunity because I know my costs. So if my national chains I'm competing with, they're going to raise their price. Hello, this is opportunity for me. Number two, yes, the cost of some things absolutely will go up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I look at we are only as strong as our weakest link. And all these people that are saying that, you can get by on $7.65 or $7.85 an hour, go try it.
Well, how many people actually do that, though? How many minimum wage workers are trying to raise a family on that?
Walk into McDonald's downtown and talk to any one of those workers in there and see what your response is.
Well, okay, well, just give me a figure, you know, a nice round number. Oh. This is how many people in America that do that.
That make their living on minimum wage. Frankly, I'd be making up a number. I really don't know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. John, I do have to run. I've got some other callers I have to get to. Thanks for your call today.
You bet.
And we move on to Dan, who's standing by in Three Rivers. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Jeremy, how in the world is it going? It's raining like everything down here on Center Street, by the way.
Okay.
Yep. If we go back to the beginning of this farcical conversation when Obama started this mess, this was supposed to affect only the contract workers for the federal government. Mm-hmm. Do you recall that?
Well, I know he signed that executive order that did that. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to go to 10-10, and it would only have been for construction contracts or other contracts, rather, that were for the federal government. Mm-hmm. And now, all of a sudden, everybody's jumped on board, and he's just sitting back grinning now because he just got it rolling, and now everybody's gone nuts on this thing. Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with pretty much everything you've said today, and that is, the $8.50 sounds better than anything else, mm-hmm. Especially over a period of 3 years. But my biggest problem with it all is, as you sort of alluded to a few minutes ago, was that people, if it goes to 10-10, for instance, what about the guy now that's making $10.10 an hour or 10 and a quarter? Mm-hmm. He's not going to be satisfied when all of a sudden everybody's making as much as he is. He's going to say, hey, I was worth this much more than they were before. Now don't I get a raise? Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be just the people going up to 10-10. There's going to be a lot of people besides union workers with it already in their contract. There's going to be a lot of people that are asking for raises because they were ahead before, and they're not ahead anymore now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's an interesting point you bring up, Dan. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And, somebody else brought up that very thing. They said, you know, minimum wage increase narrows the gap closer to my $15 wage that it's taken me 37 years to reach. there's somebody right there who's dealing with this going, suddenly my work is not worth quite as much because of all of that. And I think that's another issue in this. And to me, I think this whole idea of, well, all right, 10:10, 7:40, 9:20, 9:25, 8:50. I mean, you're throwing out all these numbers. Let's find one number that we can go through and go, okay, if we end up at this number, it's going to have the lowest impact on businesses, people trying to make money with a small business, and it's also going to have an impact on increasing the wage. That's fine. That's fine. I think we just need to find what that number is instead of this, well, let's do it this way. No, let's do it that. No, this one over here. You get more and more convinced somebody's sitting in Lansing with a dartboard. Mm-hmm. You just get that that picture that somebody's doing that. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Let's check in with Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Hey, I think instead of this minimum wage changing, why don't we start regulating gas prices and heating prices and everybody? Then everybody would sort of get a raise.
Okay.
You know, I'm watching gas. Well, it's going to hit $5 this summer. So you give a minimum wage, there's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So well, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Interesting idea there from Bill. And, you know, really, you got to understand that minimum wage is going to have an impact on things like, you know, Bill brought up the gas price. It's going to have an impact on gas prices because guess what? They got to pay those people to watch the pumps. Mm-hmm. They got to pay those people to stand behind the counter and you know, sell you a Slurpee with it, you know, or whatever it is. You know, they got to pay those people. So labor costs are going to go up. Labor costs are going to go up for the trucks that send the gas to the stations. It's going to cost more to create it. So guess what? Price is going to go up at the pump. That's the bottom line. We know this. But finding a way to make this so that it all works, I think that's the key. That's something that, quite frankly, I don't think we've found yet. Be nice to find it, but I don't think we've found it yet. We'll see how it all works out. Continue on talking about it. Take your phone calls and your texts, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or text us, 80373, as we continue. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo right now. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson. Bronson Positivity is the positive momentum driven by a constant pursuit of excellence. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/quality. Jeremy Lawrence here on 590 WKZO. We did get a text earlier that I wanted to share with you. It's a little on the lengthy side, but they texted in at 80373. We were talking about the minimum wage and what this whole increase thing is going to do. They said, "I'm mostly against increasing the minimum wage. I agree it's bad for small businesses. Many cannot just pass along the cost. Also, it's another expense taken out of control of the person paying the cost. Finally, I think it will hurt some groups who need jobs, like high school age kids. They need to learn good work habits and get experience. Not everyone on a minimum wage job is trying to make a living from it, contrary to many of the justifications I hear." And I think that's something, it's been proven out when we've talked about minimum wage. 0.1% of all Americans over the age of 25 make minimum wage. 0.1. That's not very many. And how many of those are actually trying to support a family on that? Oftentimes they're income number two or income number three for the family. So, no, they're not trying to support a family on that. So this whole idea of, well, we just need to increase the minimum wage because these people, they need a break. Well, that's fine, but it's all this idea that money is just going to show up in your lap. You know, when you increase the minimum wage, money is going to just start arriving at your door. No, it won't. It's got to come from somewhere. Well, it's going to, you know, the businesses are going to get more money. When? When? They got to pay the wage first. And that's not going to necessarily increase your bottom line, that the money is not going to just show up. Oh, look, a money cloud. It's raining cash.
Or we're going to start planting money trees somewhere.
You know, I've tried it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only thing you get when you plant for a money tree is dirty money. Sorry.
That's right.
It just doesn't work. You know, so this idea that, well, we could just raise it, it'll help everybody. No, it doesn't help everybody. What it does is it makes it a higher cost to be able to do business in this country. So you want to pay higher wages for people at the low end of the scale? Well, that's fine if the market could bear it. But let's find out what it's going to do. Let's find out what these numbers mean before we just start throwing darts and go, yep, that's it, 925, that's where we're going to go.
Or maybe they're using a wheel spinning it, and they have all these prices on the wheel, and it just lands on there.
It's like Wheel of Fortune, I guess. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
Just need to do some more work on it, definitely. We're going to keep talking about some issues you care about. You know what? A CIA agent is known to people now. We'll talk about that. Degrees, 590 WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence Show. Here in just a few minutes, and I hinted at this earlier, we're going to be talking about, I don't know if you heard about this over the weekend, but apparently the White House made an oopsie. Yes, over the weekend they accidentally released the name of their top CIA official in Afghanistan. Oops!
No, we didn't mean that.
Oh, never mind. I'll share the details with you. You'll be amazed at how this happened. We'll talk a little bit about that because I thought immediately when this happened, I thought, boy, this happened during the Bush administration. It'll be interesting to see what the reaction to this is as this continues to unfold. And, you know, oops, regardless, somebody did something stupid. So that's not good. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. One thing that we are going to do, though, is give away some movie tickets. Right now.
Yes, I'm ready.
Of course you are. You're always ready. I think you come up with trivia questions in your sleep.
Well, I haven't thought of any while I was sleeping yet.
Give it time. Give it time, I'm sure.
They'll come.
I'm sure. But here's what we got for you. Four tickets, and this is a brand new movie coming out this Friday. So you've been thinking about, oh, I'd love to see new movies. Well, here's one of them. And people have been talking about this one, Maleficent. And don't ask me if that's the correct pronunciation. I don't know. That's what I've heard. So, but we've got four tickets to this. This is the one where Angelina Jolie is playing a character that is one of those evil people in the in one of the fairy tales. They're saying basically this is Sleeping Beauty from a different perspective. So here's what we're going to do. Four tickets to go see it at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And you got to do two things. First of all, you got to call us at one of the following numbers, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. And then secondly, you got to answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that no doubt Michael has come up with.
This one really fits the bill, too.
Okay. All right.
All right. What character did Angelina Jolie play in the 2001 movie Tomb Raider? This is not a toughie.
Yeah. Okay. So scratch your head over that one. Give us a call, 382-4280 and 877-382-4280, and we will let you know what the answer is. Probably you already know, I have a feeling. So give us a call and you'll be able to see Angelina Jolie's latest movie coming out this Friday. We're going to continue ahead here with this discussion about the CIA, the White House, pulling a big oopsie. We'll chat about it as we continue ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. K Continuing ahead here, Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. And we had the opportunity to give away some movie tickets just a few short moments ago. And we, Michael shared with you a trivia question. If you're just joining us, you may have missed out on the question. So, Michael, share with us what the question was and what the answer was.
Okay, the question was, what character did Angelina Jolie play in the 2001 movie Tomb Raider? And the answer is Lara Croft.
There you go. Okay. And who was it that won the tickets that we were giving away? We were giving away four tickets to Maleficent.
Derek Hall was our winner.
All right. So Derek gets to help out his friends or his family a little bit. He's got four tickets coming for that. So something to look forward to. Yes, it's coming out this weekend, Derek. So you'll have to make your plans, I have a feeling.
Yeah, whatever plans you had, cancel them. You're now going to a movie.
Yeah, you're going to a movie, and it's free. It's on us. So, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. So so that's what's happening there. Now, getting back to what we were talking about earlier, and I don't know if you didn't hear about this story. I found this interesting. You know, the White House, I heard over the weekend, as many of us did, that, surprise, President Obama went to Afghanistan. To which, when I heard that, I thought, well, it's the ideal time to do it. Yeah, you know, surprise visit to the troops. Commander-in-Chief shows up. That's always a good thing. You know, I remember President Bush did that. And that was, I think that was a good precedent to set as the Commander-in-Chief. President Obama has continued that, and that's good. But here's the problem. The press office for the White House circulated a list of people they were going to be briefing President Obama when he got to Afghanistan. Among the names on the list was the top CIA agent in Afghanistan. That was handed out by the press office to a distribution list of more than 6,000 recipients, all of them media. So you can imagine, yeah, word's gotten out about this. And basically, you know, they list the agent as chief of station. So it wasn't necessarily a CIA, hey, this guy works, this is our top spy, this is, you know. But chief of station, that's basically, it's a CIA line to basically say, yeah, this top spy in the area. Now, the White House, when they did this, later came along and went, oops, no, this is the list. For real this time. The last one, yeah, forget that one. This is the list. Look at this one. Which, naturally, if you got both of them, you're going to look at the old list to find out, okay, what'd they take off? You know, and all right, yeah, maybe you're going to look at it and go, okay, yeah, and so, well. And for the most part, the media has kept it secret. They haven't necessarily released the name. But here's the thing. The White House has blown the cover of the top CIA agent. Now, let's not forget that this was something that came up during the Bush years, that there was a CIA agent that their cover was blown, and the media made a pretty big deal out of it. But will the media make a big deal out of this one? Now, clearly, in this case, it looks like it was an accident. The press office just kind of went, oops. But still, oops is not a good thing to do when it comes to CIA agents, particularly in a country where yeah, there's still some fighting going on. There's still soldiers there. There's still some issues in that particular country. So I found it interesting. I thought I would bring that up today and just chat about it for a few minutes, because this kind of thing, you know, you've got to wonder what kind of an impact that's going to create. Now, we will continue the chat with you and take your phone calls, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. You can also text us, 80373, be a part of the discussion that way. But before we dig into the discussion, we do have to take a brief timeout for traffic. We go to Michael for that.
Yes, this information just coming in from a texter. There's a traffic light malfunctioning at Sprinkle Road and East Michigan. It's blinking red. Traffic is backed up heading north.
Okay. All right. So be aware of that as you head into that area. So, all right. Now let's go ahead and open up the phone lines as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373. You can text us, And we're going to go to Tim, standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Good afternoon. It touched a little bit on the CIA thing, but I want to talk about something else, but the presidential visit.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, it tells me we got some real incompetent boobs in that White House.
Mm-hmm.
They keep everything else secret. They keep everything else secret about IRS and everything else that's going on, Benghazi, the VA, and they can't keep this secret?
Well, you know, it just makes me wonder because, you know, they all know chief of station, that means CIA, that means don't tell anybody. You would think they would go, okay, let's not put that on the list.
Well, it just goes to show there's some, I just believe there's some real incompetent people in that White House don't know what the heck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
On another note, I will say this. you know, with this VA scandal going on and everything else is trying to do a PR stunt, he flies in on Memorial Day to do this. And my first gut check was, this is a major PR stunt. He is trying to do damage control and tell all these veterans, you're going to get your care, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get that, and we're not going to leave you behind. It was damage control from the White House and looked real good about what he was doing over there. And that's what it really boils down to. I don't care what they say it was. It's what it was. It was damage control and a PR stunt. And I've heard that from several good veteran leaders out there.
Well, and it could be that that was the reasoning behind putting this together. That said, I still don't have a problem with him going there. I think at the very least he's connecting with the troops. It's something he doesn't do quite as much. Last president.
No, I don't have a problem with him going there. I mean, it was nice he did that for the troops. But it's all a coincidental thing. If you look at it as everything that's going on, if you look back at everything that's ever happened, calling people accountable for this, accountable for that, IRS, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, this and that, we're going to get to the bottom of it, Libya, you name it. No one's held down accountable. No one's ever been fired from this guy. He's never, other than Kathy Sebelius, turned around and says, I'm going to resign. I'm retiring and resigning. There's never been a firing from this president.
Well, they did claim that they were letting somebody go over this whole VA thing, but turns out that it was somebody that was retiring anyway, and they just left a month early.
That's what I'm talking about. These people are already planning to retire.
I hear you. All right, Tim, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And you know, really, that's you do wonder if that was the point of the trip, heading over there to say, well, all right, the VA scandal's gone. We got to make him look good around veterans. Let's have him visit the troops in the field that always worked for the for President Bush. Well, okay, yeah, maybe, very well. Now, there's a couple of texts that have come in, and you can text us as well, 80373, and be a part of this. Someone is asking, how can you even compare this with the Valerie Plame incident? Simple. Someone in the Bush administration let loose that Valerie Plame was a CIA employee, blah, 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 blah. That came out. All right? Cover's blown. In this case, the White House released the name of the top CIA operative in Afghanistan. Cover's blown. That's how I can compare it to that incident. Because in my mind, the names were released. Damage is done. No matter what was behind it, whether it's, oh, well, we're gonna get this person because they did that. Or if it's just, oops, the damage has been done. And something needs to be done about it. And that's why I think you make the comparison there. How does that compare? Quite simply, that's how it compares. Because we're not necessarily looking at, you know, because, okay, yeah, they screwed up. Okay, yeah, but guess what? We've just messed things up for this person that was trying to do their job in Afghanistan. Chances are they're on a plane headed home, and they will never be able to do undercover work again. And I think that's damage done, regardless of what the point was behind it. Somebody else commented and said, are you really sure that it was an oops? Well, who knows? That's another thing. Who knows what it was? you know, who knows? Yeah, it probably was, you know, let's face it. You've got the press office. It's Memorial Day weekend. You got to figure that a lot of the A-list press office people were like, it's a holiday weekend. I'm out of here. The B-line people were like, I ain't going in. That's not happening. So you've got your C-line. These are the people that just, you know, they're, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying an intern did it by any stretch. But, you know, you're not going to have your top of the line that know, aha, that's what that name is. Now, by all means, if the president is going overseas and surprising troops and doing all this stuff, then they certainly very well should have. They very well should have had people in place to say, wait a minute, we don't release that name. Mm-mm, no, we're not going to release that one. So somebody screwed up. And somebody needs to pay the price for it. But there's the thing. It's not going to be, you know, they'll find a scapegoat somewhere on this one. But there's the bottom line is with this kind of thing, if this is happening in short order, you still need to have all your ducks in a row because you're the White House. You're serving the President of the United States, and you need to have it together. And sadly, that hasn't happened. Yeah, and will you see it out of this? That's another question. Now, somebody is suggesting in texting, and feel free to text as well if you'd like, 80373. Someone's suggesting, well, one was an accident, the other was criminal. And they're saying it's a big difference because, you know, Bush pardoned it. Well, Bush didn't pardon Scooter Libby. He commuted part of the sentence. There is a bit of a difference there. That said, it's the same thing. A name was released that should not have been released. How could you say it's different at this point? Because the end result is the same thing. A name has been released that should not have come out.
Someone's cover has been blown, and now their career is over.
Pretty much. And yeah, now they're going to basically push paper at the CIA, and who wants to do that?
Yeah, that's a very tedious job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's people that are in a spy agency, they join because they kind of want to do that, you know. Oh, great. I get to do TPS reports now, you know.
That's the most exciting part of my day, and I can't wait to tackle it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But there's the thing. I think, gosh, even if this is absolute ridiculous, dropped-the-ball stupidity, something needs to be done. A price needs to be paid for it. And it's not one of these things of going, well, you know, it happened to Bush, so it's got to happen to Obama. No. The bottom line is something happened that shouldn't have. The bottom line is somebody screwed up. And this administration, and they will not do this. They will not do this, but they should. Get right out in front of this and say, you know what? Somebody did screw up. And there's going to be hell to pay. And that's the bottom line. You've got to come out and say that. You've got to come out and say, you know what? It's going to come. Whoever did this has better start making their plans for Leavenworth. You know?
Yes.
It's not just firing that needs to take place in this. They need to look at it. They need to say, oops, yeah, we did screw up. Somebody's going to be held accountable for this. And then come out with who's being held accountable for it. And let that person pay for it. And they need to get out in front of it now, right as it's happened, and not 2 months from now when the scandal is blown all out of proportion and they go, oh, yeah, I suppose we should do something about that. You know what? We'll fire that guy. That guy. Oh, he's retiring anyway. Well, you won't notice that.
Or I just heard that about that on the TV last night. I read that in the newspaper this morning. Something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be, they need to be out in front of it. They need to be proactive on this and say, all right, we're going to address this right now. We're going to take care of this right now. And, you know, I don't think we need to do all the stuff of, you know, like, well, it's like Bush. It's like the, you know, Bush is gone. Bush is done. We're talking about Obama right now. So I think that's what they ought to do. It's going to do it for the program. Glad that you took the time to join us. You know what? We're going to get together and do it again tomorrow, so I hope that you'll be with us from 3 to 5 tomorrow. Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.